All right, let's move expeditiously this morning, seeing that we have other things that we have to engage. However, the most important thing we engage is these glorious truths. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 3. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Also, take your document out. And as I've forestated this morning, we shall take an interlude after today's message as it relates to our ministering and discoursing of the scriptural distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Amen. See, we shall take the interlude of a few months, and then we shall continue in this vein of ministering. Take your document. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. And we are in the last part of part one, which we will not conclude today as we had previously thought we would. The cognitive, the scripturally, everybody repeat after me, the scripturally, cognitive aspects of probabilities. Amen. That section begins in 21, and we had defined probabilities. We had defined cognitive. It would be stated lingo to occur, and we know when a thing manifests is when we construe it to occur. Amen. All things are in God's eternal decree, and the manifestation of them means to us when it shows up on the scene and some of mankind are cognizant of it. Now, probabilities, those things that are most likely to manifest or occur. We had gone down through page 21 and page 22, we had defined the doctrine of peripatiology. Everybody said, doctrine of peripatiology, which defines those things that are peripatetic, are those things that convey that which is moving about. Actually, it speaks of the doctrine of concerning our lives. And then when we look at our lives, the believer's walk and journey through time should always be viewed from its heavenly strata, from the heavenly strata. So in other words, we look at the things on earth from eternity. We look at the things in time from eternity, and we look at the things on the earth, amen, from the heavenlies. So we are always taking a bird's eye overview of life, wherein before us we're able to see all things. We're able to glimpse the essence of the things that are going on, and while we're not able to see them in their entirety, amen, we're able to see the intent and purpose of God as it is outlaid in the scriptures. And so many things that are enigmatic to others will be arcane to us. We will be able to see and understand things, amen, that the average child of God does not know and comprehend simply because, amen, God has not given everybody the enlightenment of his word to the end, as Apostle Paul states in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. The Greek expression is tu nonne opton, which is translated to know him, or if you use the gerund as we do in the English, knowing him, which is an aphorism, that which states the principle of a saying, a principle of a thing. And basically what Paul is saying, living is knowing him. In other words, if you're really living, the essence of living is knowing him. to know him, knowing him is the essence of coming to a realization of God's plan and purpose for things. Amen. Here Paul was able to experience this both intellectually but also experimentally through his daily walk. Amen. This is how he makes this statement in defining his passion for abiding in the excellent knowledge of Christ. And while he's doing this, it causes him to demean or lessen the impact of all humanly perceived things that are going on around him. Amen. This is why it was no big thing for him to sacrifice, as men would view it, all that he had in following Christ. In fact, Paul speaks of it as being nothing. Amen. As that which is on the scrap pile. He said, yea, but I count it dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. As we had moved through verse 10 and just going here, doing a little recap in here, verse 10, as we dealt with that, amen, we had the Greek present participle in there, simophizomenos, which is translated being conformed. Notice, again, that's in the passive voice. It speaks of the Holy Spirit's role in molding and shaping us to the will of God. Right. So we are being conformed. We're not conforming, amen. We are not transmuting. We are being transformed, amen. Transmoved, amen. We are progressing, but we are on the passive end of that progression, amen. And so, as we look into the essence of God's word, we see the child of God and how our lives are daily being conformed to the essence of his will, we move to Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. And Elder, for the sake of time today, we're just going to read verses 11 and 12. Amen. And hopefully if we can get through that much, I think we'll be doing pretty good today. All right? Everybody got it? Philippians chapter 3. Verse 11, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
If by any means
mm-hmm.
I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained,
mm-hmm.
either were already perfect,
uh-huh.
but I follow after, mm-hmm. if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
All right, let's hurry up and get to the Greek here. All right. Now, we're going to be reading from the Greek interlineal text. Everyone that has Greek interlineal, take it and follow very closely. And if you don't, follow in whatever translation you have. Amen. Follow it closely. All right. Elder, slowly.
Philippians chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
verse 11 in the interlinear Greek.
Uh-huh.
If somehow I may attain to the out resurrection,
mm-hmm.
from dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not that already I receive
mm-hmm.
or already have been perfected.
Uh-huh.
But I follow if indeed I may lay hold in as much as also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my hallelujah. This here, the theme of this context is knowledge. What you know makes all the difference.
Amen.
In the world versus what you don't know.
Thank
Amen.
God.
Of course, that expression, what you don't know won't hurt you. Don't you ever believe that? What you don't know can be lethal. What you know can cause you peace mm-hmm. and serenity
oh, yes.
and rest. Mm-hmm. What you know can take the stress out of your lives.
Uh-huh.
What you don't know can drive you crazy.
Oh, yes.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
What you know can make your lives enjoyable.
Right.
No. We're not saying that you won't have no problems and so forth and so on. And many of the ministries, they're always pointing to how to get around this and how to, you know, get rid of that and so forth and so on. And all your stress and so forth and the problems. And, amen, let's get healed and then we won't have that deal with and so forth and so on. No. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he had physical problems as far as having infirmities in his body.
Amen.
He had social problems in that those that were around him, some of those did not understand him, and those that thought they understood, amen, they contended with him because they didn't like what he was saying or what he was preaching and teaching, even to the point where he spoke of perils of countrymen and the Jews, and they hated him. Amen. And so he had problems in that aspect, and not to mention politically, of course, I can imagine, even though Paul didn't give no real ink to it in his epistles, what the Roman government must have thought of him. If we knew what the Pharisees thought, we see the problems of this man's life. As he gives his resume at one time, he spoke of perils of wars, a night and day in the deep. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Speaking of the time when he was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked on an island. Amen. And of all the things that he suffered, amen, as we dealt in the Bible class Friday night, I've learned to be what? In whatever state, be content. Amen. In whatever state, I'm found. Amen. And as we look at the aspect of probabilities, most of us, when we think of things, we think of things that may occur, might happen, much of it frightens us. And that's all of us. That's me too. You contemplate things, amen, from day to day, but we don't live as those that have no hope. And I might say we don't live as those that have not this enlightenment, this elucidation, this illumination of the eternal purpose and workings and will of God. Now, in this verse 11, it starts off, and I'm going to have to go and just bear with me here. Oh my God, hallelujah. We have to, as we go and we exegete this, it starts on e pros katandiso, which is translated, if somehow, if anyhow, in some translations it is, if by some means. Here we have what we call an enclicted particle, pos. It is indefinite. And this is why, as we look at this, it deals with the chance. We can say by some means, by any means, if so, somehow, by whatever means, if in some way, by some way, oh my God. Here, the foregone conclusion of it, though, is the verb that follows it. Even though, follow here, we have an aorist tense. An aorist tense. Catandiso. Arrive, or reach. I may attain. I may obtain. Amen. But here, it is in the subjunctive mood, but we have the aorist tense. Yes. The subjunctive mood is what? Subjunctive mood, probability. Come on, wake up on me here. Probability. We have the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? A completed action. So here we have a completed probability. Y'all don't hear me. We have a completed probability. We have a probability that is certain. Oh, no. Not certain from the way we view it, but certain from the way that God has decreed it.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes. Amen. So that thing is not hanging out in space.
Oh, glory.
As it looks, as it may seem. But as God has decreed it.
Thank God.
We had the experience this week. We were praying, amen. In relationship to one that was hovering over death as far as we could see. When the doctor gave a 20% chance of living. Amen. It wouldn't have mattered if he had said, no hope. Huh? You see? Here we're dealing with a probability from the standpoint of us viewing it, oh my God, but we do not focus from the plateau of the horizontal plane of which we stand upon. Our view of life is not from that level of vision, but our view of life is from the heavenlies. Amen. And so our dependence is not upon what we perceive. Our dependence upon what God has decreed.
Oh, yeah. Right. Glory to God. Right. Thank God.
And as it is, God had decreed that she would wake up.
Right.
And that she would rise up. Amen. And this is the comfort we have. So we do not set our sights on what we see, for we are not looking at the things that are being seen, because the things that are being seen are temporary. But we're looking at the things that are what? Unseen. Because the things that are unseen are what? They're eternal. They're eternal.
That's it. Amen.
Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
Amen. And so this is why we have that grammatical construction there. Amen. It is called an indefinite adverb. Amen. But that is only in the sense of what it may be viewed in light of the subjunctive mood. Amen. And of course, I know what they say. The scholars, amen, and I'm not arguing with them. They're scholars. We're not. Amen. They say you just ignore this aorist tense. I mean, oh my God. But when you hook this thing up in the spiritual realm,
yes.
Oh my God, the essence of knowing and obtaining, Oh my God, that is a foregone conclusion. Him said, if any means I may, if anyhow I may obtain. Here, let's go to the verse 24 there, the first paragraph up in the top. The first phrase in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, as we've just conveyed, epos, is translated, basically here we've translated, if by any means. But it also may be rendered, if somehow, if any way, if possible. Now this is not in, are you following me? Following me? This is not intended to construe a sense, a possibility, a probability. But it focuses on God's design processes, a means of the accomplishment of His will. This is corroborated, as we said, we had the Greek phrase, katadiso in teen, as anastasin, teen, ek, necron. This is rendered, and I had to read this out, you know, never know, amen, whose follower is here, amen, and we're going to say something that's not in some of the translations here, and so we have to actually convey the actual Greek scriptures here to back us up. This is rendered, I might obtain unto the out resurrection, or more specifically, the out from the dead. Here, understand what Paul is saying. We have the verb, I might obtain. It depicts the manifestation of the ultimate goal, which in essence was God's prescribed means for him. That is to come to reach and arrive at the designated objective as the determinative decreed plan rather than the mere function of probabilism.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, amen. Our aim is not to float out there with the world. Amen. Said, well, I don't know what might be, can be. Well, I don't know. Right. You know, no. Huh? Just, this is why we stand on the essence of God's will is done. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is. Whatever that thing is. Hmm? And so this is the point that we want to reach in life. That we are fully relying upon Him and we are resting in Him. Amen. And so we're going with that which is proven, not that which is chanced. That which is proven, not even that which is choiced, mm-hmm. Yes. Except it is His choice. Yes.
Amen.
Now, as we move on, here it is important to comprehend this cogitation in light of the prior context, as the focus is on spiritually identifying via maturing of the mind. Our minds become more in tune to God, and we are growing and developing and maturing, amen, in the essence of seeing the light of the gospel and how it has moved them and how it has outlaid all things before us and how everything is in place from the beginning in eternity. And we're not looking around on a day by day. We're not living 1 second at a time. Amen. We are living in the eternal realm where what? Where there's no time. Come on, y'all. There's no time. There's no sequencing. What is, it is. Amen. And though we are dwelling in time, our minds are always eternal minded. In this view, listen, we are conforming as designated ones via the daily working it out aspect in testimony to the eternal perfect confirmation of all who are in Christ, which is in every way the total work of God. As we shall see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. That essence, this manifestation of participation is depicted in our faith experimental identification with Christ.
Amen.
Now this is why from the inception of this ministry, our focus have been on the Asians. What are you talking about the Asians? Justification? Sanctification? perpetuation, amen, adoption, amen. You know, looking at the essence of God's eternal work in placing us in the body of Christ. Because the essence of life is identifying with who you are in Christ. Now, it might not seem, he said, when all my life is about, you know, my job and my family. Yes, all of these things are certainly, amen, the part of your natural life. But above that, amen, you are more of who you are in the body of Christ than who you are encapsulated in these bodies and on any particular day.
Amen. Thank God.
On any particular day that you are here, that you're going through a problem, that you're going through some test, some trial, that you go into the essence of moving through life and raising your families and, amen, your careers and young people going to school, and, amen, as we shall deal with a little later, amen, our graduates and all of these things and so forth and so on. As you move through this, amen, always keep your sights, your hopes, your aims, and your aspirations, amen, above that. Yes, go on in life and do everything, amen, that is placed before you and that you can accomplish, amen. But don't ever place that as the highest of the high point in your life.
All right.
Your life is about Christ.
Amen.
And this is why Paul started off the antecedent verse, knowing him. He used that aphorism, knowing him. Life is about knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not living if you don't, not really living if you don't know him.
That's so true.
Amen. That's what breathing is about. Breathing is about knowing him.
Amen.
Huh? Oh my God, hallelujah. And so, here, as he deals with the theme of knowledge, we juxtapose it against the vicissitudes of life and the things of life that come before us.
Right.
Note here, from the testimony of God's course for us, or his people, is given in the exegesis of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, that he read. Here it reads, translated, not that I have already obtained, already have been made perfect, but I pursue, if also I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by, oh my God, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. Here he's setting the goal. Again, let me do a little exegeting because we're going to veer a little bit away from what the norm of translations deal with this in the essence of what they deal with. Elder, read just verse 12. Is everybody with me now? Come on, don't lose me. I don't want to lose anybody. Verse 12. Read that very slowly again.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 12.
Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. This might seem a little didactic this morning, but I'm telling you, oh my God, you got to learn this. You got to learn this.
Amen.
There's something out there just waiting to make you miserable, beat you up.
Right.
Huh? Just turn your life all upside down and make you a miserable something. Oh my God, with all that God has given us, amen, no matter what's going down, oh my God, he who is in you, he's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater. That adversary.
Amen. Glory to God.
He's greater than he who is in the world.
That's right.
Than whatever's in the world.
Whatever.
Than whatever's going down.
Glory.
God is greater. Amen. And no matter how hard that thing may seem, so well, I can't take this. I can't live with it. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Yes, you
Amen.
Can. We want to get to the point that's not the only thing I can't live without is Jesus.
Amen.
I can deal with everything else.
That's right. That's right.
Lost my job. Sad to say that, but that job is not your life.
It's
home. That home is not your life. I lost my health. That health is not your life. I said, man, you're talking crazy now. And that's why we exegete.
That's right. Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Because many of the things that the scripture is saying to us is like, hey, did Paul really say that? Huh?
Amen. Thank God.
Did the Holy Spirit really, really, really convey that through Paul? And so this is why we exegete. Because we really want to know what the conveyance actually is. Now, it may not make any humanly perceived notions connect. In other words, it might not make any sense to you. It doesn't matter whether it makes any human sense.
Yeah.
Does it make godly sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if that thing seems crazy to us. And this is why some ministers, certain passages there, especially in these 14 epistles, they won't quote it. They won't even go there. He said, because it's hard to explain. Well, Peter, that's what Peter said. Peter said, hey, your Paul is writing stuff here that's hard to understand. Amen. So just because we don't understand it, we avoid it. You know, most things that we don't understand. Most things that we don't understand, we try to avoid it, don't we? Do we not? Yeah, we do. We don't fool with stuff we don't understand. You know, that's like, you know, if you're trying to read something and you don't understand it, first thing you do is you put it down, don't you? Huh? I ain't fool with this.
Amen.
Huh?
Glory to God.
Well, I implore you, don't put this down.
That's it.
Don't put this down. Sometimes up in our office, we are taking hours and we're exegeting. We're searching. You know why we're searching? We want to know what it is actually conveying. And even if it doesn't make any earthly sense, if it makes heavenly sense, then it makes sense. In fact, if it doesn't make any heavenly sense, it doesn't make sense, even if it's construed to make earthly sense. And this is what we're talking about. So as we view probabilities, it's not from the aspect of what we think.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank God.
Not from the aspect of what we have outlaid, but from what God has outlaid.
Yes.
It is what God says it is. Even if it doesn't make sense to you. Things do not consist on the basis of whether they make sense to us. The man, Jesus healed the man and says, what do you see? He said, I see men that look like trees. Let's go back and look at that thing again. Who say, oh, now I see men as men. See, to him they were trees.
Come on,
the things we're looking at, you think that you're perceiving that thing right.
Right. Amen.
That's why our gospel teaches us that we don't walk by sight.
Right.
What do we walk by?
Faith.
By faith. We are always looking through the eyes of faith. Probabilities. Now follow this. Did you read that, Ella?
No.
Read.
Philippians.
Slowly.
Philippians
3. This is from the Greek now. This is from the interlinear. Those that, and we're going to keep ordering them until my hope is that everyone here will eventually have the Greek interlineal. We are not going to be wedded to or dependent upon or held captive by any translation.
Amen.
King James, whatever. None of them. So which one do we use? All of them. Which one do we rely upon? None of them. All right, very slowly.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Greek interlineal. Not that already I receive or already have been perfected.
Stop. Not. We have a negative particle here. Ook. Translated not. Ook oti. Ifi. Not that. Here we have the adverb ifi. Now. Not now. Not already. And we're all in that category. There are many more things that you don't know than what you do know. In fact, there's very little that we know in comparison as to what it is. We know very little. We know very little. And here's what Paul here is saying. Not that I now. Not that I now. Amen. Here we have a verb. Elevon, which is in the indicative mood. It's in the aorist tense. We have, it is translated, obtained, or taken hold, got a handle on it, if I want to just break it down in colloquial language. Oh. Not now that I have a handle on.
Oh.
That's why things are viewed mostly in the vein of upper probability. Everything we view is a probability. That which is likely to manifest. Because as we are in this state, encapsulated in flesh, whether you are the lake or non-elect, God has not given us the insight to look down the road to see anything.
Right. Glory to God.
That would be what you call a walk of sight. And God won't have it, will not have it.
No.
So he doesn't give us, in the physical aspect, any more outlook and insight as he does the non-elect. That's why in the Old Testament and the law, dealing with divination and dealing with, you know, that's why I'm saying it. It's foolish. I'm not saying, you go into your hell and if you fool around with horoscopes. I heard them preaching. You can look your debauch, read whatever you want to read in there. You know, if you want to be foolish enough to follow that stuff. You're just being deceived. You know. So what is your horoscope for today? So you go out there and the opposite happens. Huh? You look and read, be careful today because this, that, and the other. So you walk around jumpy all day long because you... Is that crazy?
Oh.
Huh? Then another day you read and say, oh, this is your lucky day. Anything you try is going to succeed. And you go out there and make the biggest blunder you ever seen in your life.
Albert.
But the probability is couched in the fact that the courses of our lives were laid out in God's decree in eternity.
Amen.
Whatever you're going to encounter tomorrow, God has already decreed that thing.
Already.
Whether you're going to succeed in something, that's decreed. Whether you're going to fail in something, that's decreed.
Amen.
Whether you're going to be wise in something, that's decreed. Whether you're going to be boneheaded in something, that's decreed. So I made a mistake. See? And so this is what Paul, follow me, this is what Paul is saying here. So here, he goes on and he says, neither now already am I perfected or have been made complete. And notice here, follow me. I know I'm getting a little technical, but in order to break this thing down, we have a verb, tetalipomene, which is translated perfected. It is a verb. It is in the indicative mood. Listen, it is in the perfect tense. What is the perfect tense? Completed action with what? Phone going to face. What's going on? Oh, now, amen, is influenced by what God has already decreed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is because it was.
Thank
you. So I got that raise. And you got it because it was decreed. It is because it was. It didn't pop out of the sky as something new. You know, it is credulous to just hear something and you hear it enough, and because you heard it, you just accept it as being true. The credulity of God's people is just astounding. We just go for any and everything. Now, it's no sin to be reading a horoscope, but I'm telling you, I'd be very, very, very disappointed if I found out that anybody in here was living off of the horoscope. I'd be in light of all this knowledge, I'd be very disappointed.
Right.
This thing is not about choice. No chance. It's about faith.
That's it.
Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in that God has already done that thing.
Ready.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is what he said. I have obtained it. Neither now already am I perfected. Or is it completed? But Paul said, nevertheless, that's not how I'm approaching this thing. How are you approaching it, Paul? Read. But what?
But I follow.
Uh-huh.
If indeed I may lay hold.
Mm-hmm.
Inasmuch as also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus.
This is how I'm approaching this thing. Follow me here.
Right.
It said, but. Now, the actual word here is they. Most of the time, that's translated and. But we have translated but because the form of it is, we have a what we call a superordinate conjunction. What's a superordinate conjunction? That means that is the controlling word in that verse. And so what follows it overshadows and overtakes what precedes it. Right? What follows it overshadows and supersedes what preceded it. What preceded, he said, Billy, really, I don't know. I haven't got there. You know, speaking from the essence of his physical human perception.
Right. Yes, right. Amen.
But the superordinate conjunction there, but what? But here it is, if also, katalavo, you have a verb here, katalavo, it is in the subjunctive mood, but what? Aorist tense. I pursue, I attain, I go after, I have been, basically from the beginning, amen, God's assignment and allotment is for me to pursue that, amen. What are you pursuing, Paul? You have a verb here, katalim fatin, which is translated, laid hold of, attained. Here, oh my God, you have indicative mood, aorist tense, passive voice. So I'm pursuing, grasping that which I have been laid hold of. Follow me now. Oh my God. I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Here's what he said, amen. The course that is laid before me, I pursue that which God has already mapped out.
Right. Oh, glory. Right. Glory to God. That's it. Glory. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. That's right.
I follow the course that God has already laid. I pursue the course that God has already decreed. But Paul, you just said you didn't know what it was. Paul said, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I trust him.
That's it. Glory to God.
Thank God. Amen. If we really trust God.
Glory to God.
I had a minister say to me one time, he said, I don't ever take a leap unless I can see where I'm going to land. God has not allowed me to live like that. I don't know about you. Huh? When my kids were small, talking about Lisa and my children, I don't know whether I played that game with the grandkids or not. I don't know, some games I could play with the kids. By the time the grandkids came along, especially there was some physicality involved in it. But they get up on a high place, and I said, jump! And they would like jump, and I would catch them. Man, boy, that thing would be so funny to them.
Amen.
No, I'm almost sure I didn't play that with the grandkids.
Albert.
Now they would leap. And even though there was danger and leaping off the high place because you could fall and get injured, the fact, amen, that they had confidence that if they leap off it, they were not going to get hurt because I would catch them. Oh my God, hallelujah. In the course of life, as we go through the vicissitudes and the things and the problems and the encounters of life, amen, many times we leap, but we don't leap in despair. We leap because we know he's got us covered. Safe and secure from all alarms. Safe and secure from all alarms. Amen. There's danger out there, but only in the sense, amen, that it is a depraved environment. It's danger out there, only in that sense. Oh my God, when I look into the essence of what life actually amounts to, amen, God's got us covered, and so I pursue after that of which I apprehend, that of which I all knowledge of you, member of the body of Christ, heir of God, joint heir of that which belongs to Christ. Huh?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
what is the answers? When all of this goes down, what's the bottom line? Everlasting life, security, eternal happiness, joy, peace. That's what Paul is talking about.
Amen.
And so when it became inevitably conveyed to him that he was going to Nero's chopping block, he said, I fought the good fight. I run my course. And now I'm ready. Can you say I'm ready? Huh? Earlier, as he writes this, he said, I'm not ready. But when he reached that point, he said, I am ready. I'm ready to be offered. And that's crazy talk. You can't get up and preach that. Amen. You know. So man, people need to be healed. You need to have a healing ministry. People are having financial problems. There are people out there losing their homes. They need somebody to tell them how to get through this and buy that. No. No. We ask God to remove things, and it's not God's purpose to remove that which he has purposed to use.
Right. Yeah, good.
To us, it's about removing. To God, it's about using.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm telling you.
You see?
Jesus.
So this is basically, oh my God, look at that clock. What he's talking about. Back to our page 24 there. Ah. So not that I've already obtained or already have been made perfected, but I pursue also I may lay upon that for which I was laid hold of. When were you, what were you laid hold of? Heir of God, in the body of Christ, with the nature of God, by Jesus Christ. When did he do it? In eternity. Where's the action? In eternity. Where's your focus? In eternity. And this is why one case he said, I know in whom I believe, I'm persuaded that he's able, that he has enabled the keeping of what? The keeping of that which I entrust to him. What do you entrust to him? The essence of my life. Well, Paul, he let you down because Nero chopped off your head. Paul said, that wasn't my life. I know this is crazy preaching, but it's, as long as it's there, we're going to preach it. The essence of your life transcends this life. And as we conclude this morning, we said to the graduates, to everybody else that's going out pursuing things in your life and your careers and so forth and so on, go out there and, yeah, participate. But don't. That's not the bottom line of your existence. You know, I mean, it's almost like when Paul is writing sometime, we perceive that, you know, maybe he was hallucinating. You know, things like, how we the world, where this world? Loose garment. That means nothing clings to you. Nothing in this life. Our hope is an eternal hope. If all the hope that we have is in this life, we have all been most to be pitied, miserable. If living is about simply about your job, your career, your home, your family, your this, that, and so forth and so on there, hey, when that gets cut off, everything is a lost cause. You know, as I didn't say when, if I meant to say when, it's going to go down. Follow this. The verb rendered attain in verse 11 refers to experimentally reaching out. Verse 12 conveys a man rendered, obtained, and having been made perfect denotes that none of us have received or acquired experimentally a full knowledge of Christ. And this is why we continue to come in and hear in His Word, because everything points in reference to full identification. Full identification means full conformity. And none have been fully matured or reached their end of final destiny as far as knowledge. Remember now, the theme of this context is knowledge. Paul is talking about knowledge. This is evidenced by the Greek particle ouk, rendered not, and the adverb ifthi, rendered already. Observe that the focus of the conveyance is on spiritual maturity. Everybody says spiritual maturity. Rather than one's status in Christ by we having the expression not already. And Paul said, I'm not there. And of course, you're not there. And further down in the we don't get to it today, verse 13 going forth, he said, I don't even count myself to obtain. He's talking about knowledge. I've comprehended or apprehended, but I'm forgetting those things behind. Basically, he's talking about the law and those things that are affiliated with the essence of physicality, and reaching forth. So I'm leaving physicality, and we'll deal with this in the fall. I'm leaving physicality behind and reaching forward to spirituality. That's what he's saying. I'm reaching for spirituality, and as I move towards spirituality, I'm moving away from physicality. That's what he's saying. Hence, so here we observe that the focus of the conveyance is on spiritual maturity rather than one's status in Christ by the expression not already, as an assessment of progression toward a desired end which no one ever realizes in the sphere of time. Now, hence such reflection levels of knowledge about the subject of life is the ubiquitous, that is, make we're in us now, means existing, being everywhere at the same time, thus constantly encountered. Hence, the essential feature of probabilities from the viewpoint of its cognitive essence. I have to reflect on that for a minute. When you say ubiquitous, you're not talking about God being everywhere in the universe at one time. He's too big.
Glory God.
The universe is in God.
That's it.
Not God in the universe. He occupies all of it because it's in Him.
Glory.
It is a part of Him.
Thank God.
And the essence of life and understanding as far as knowledge is concerned, as it deals with probabilities, must be from the viewpoint of God in His purpose. Everything is purpose driven. God has a reason for everything that happens in your life. Everything that's going down. Nothing is haphazard. Nothing is up in the air. When we come back in the fall, as we read, and then take this home and read it, it speaks. There was a test about them flipping a coin. I don't want to get into that. And how many times it came out heads and how many times it came out tails. And, you know, we'll get into that in the fall. But I wanted, when we got into dealing with it from the humanistic, from man's viewpoint, from man's condition, we wanted to have fully established the essence of what it is in God's decree. And so as you look at that thing, don't look at the thing you said, that's it. Or look at it and say, what is this? When you look at it, don't say, what is this? We should say, what is this what? What is this for? What is God's purpose in it? See? So we have to take our eyes off of ourselves and on God. So what is thought, and I'm going to finish this paragraph up and then I'm down. What is thought about the possession? Listen, we're at the bottom of page 24. What is thought about the possession of the full knowledge of all possible outcomes is for the most part definitively consigned to what seems to be equally probable. But none possesses such knowledge. Mainly, the assumptions of the equal probability of either heads or tails, and we'll take up this in the fall, are of the equal probability of each of plausible outcomes of a trial is due to limited knowledge about the actual properties of the situation. Hence, I use the word here, adage. Do I need to define that? The adage, nothing is exact or perfect. Now that's true in the physical sense. In the humanly mental sense. That is absolutely true. And this is where we get chance.
Yes.
Probably. And then, you know what? If we use those words, then how can you co-join free will to it?
Oh, come on, come on. That's right.
What's free about chance? Chance and choice don't even go together. Not in the sense... They're bumping heads. Free will. How are you free? And there's no telling how the things will come out. What's free about that? There's nothing free about that. Let's wind up. Therefore, it is construed that in tests and trials, as with a coin, either heads or tail may have a slightly better chance of occurring. Likewise, hope in some facet of life is most assured that certain things may have a slightly better chance to face upward rather than the downward. That's where we'll jump off in the fall. But I say to you, amen, we don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to go through the terrain of life captive to chance happenings or chance things. You don't have to work up that ulcer that you've been working on because you don't know what's going to happen and you're afraid of what's going to happen. And you hope that it didn't happen, but it may happen, and the fact that it may happen frightens you. I got headaches, heartaches, all kind of aches. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my career. I'm worried about my children. You know, how many worried themselves to death about the children? When they died, the kids were still acting foolish.
That's it.
Y'all don't hear me.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Say, well, I don't want to do that. Yeah, you're concerned. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to do whatever's decreed. So what I mean, you don't care? No. We're concerned, but we're not over-concerned. We don't put that thing in overdrive.
Right.
We don't put that thing in overdrive. We're concerned, but we're not over-concerned to the point that it just takes over our life and our mentality and our emotions. No. I remember I was in the hospital one time and there was this lady, she's laying there dying, worried about her children. And they were trying to tell her, Mama, we'll be all right. Yeah, but I've been used to taking care of something. My mama, we'll be out. They'll be out, you know, so forth. I don't know what she finally, I'm sure because she was elder than age and she probably went on makes her transition, but you know what you got to think about? You out here floating out here into the universe. None of us have the capacity to look out for anybody. You don't have the capacity to look out for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Man, you, who is your refuge? God. Who is your sustainer?
God.
Where is your security in?
God.
Where is your sustenance and security and hope? And where is it? It's in Him. It's all about Him. Everything is about Him. And Him alone. It's not about what you do. What you do, what you do won't determine anything. What you do is a part of the process. And so, yeah, go on and do what you do. But I'm saying, learn this, do what you do, then leave that, let that thing go. Let it go. Many of us pick up the newspaper each day and we're frightened to death. We're looking at the gas prices going up, and man, after a while, we started getting upset about that thing. You know, we said, well, foreclosures and so forth and so on. You look at all the things that are going down, you know, and look at the weather. You know, we had about almost 1,000 tornadoes in this country. You know what I mean? They're flooding down down in the lower plains through that swatch of Indiana and so forth and so on. You know, earthquakes, cyclones. Amen. You know what? You could read the news and talk yourself into a massive headache if you wanted to.
Amen. Yes.
Because when I read that, I don't feel safe. You as safe as you could ever be safe, because your safety was never dependent upon the abstainers or absence of these occurrences.
That's right. Amen. Thank God. Yes.
You're on a small planet in a small solar system.
All right.
That's on a relatively small galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, in comparison and juxtaposing against God, a very small universe. It is your relationship to Him. We sing the song, but we should really sing the song, amen, with the knowledge of who we are with Him.
Glory to God.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
Yeah.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Glory to God. Yeah.
What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. From the vertical viewpoint, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe. Everybody says safe. And if you don't feel safe, you don't have any business saying you're saved. How are you going to be saved and you don't feel safe? Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning. Everybody say leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Safe and secure from all alarm. We'll take it up in the fall. God bless you.